I'd like to for us to consider something that sometimes we may take for granted, and that is communion, the Lord's Supper, or the breaking of bread. We always associate it with the crucifixion, and we should, but there's some things in the breaking of bread that I think that are missed because we get so used to the usual thing about passing the cup and taking the bread and then waiting for the pastor to get up and speak. And we don't reflect upon the fact of what the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup is supposed to do. It is to do something. It's just not something that we are to eat and drink and not get enough of either. And it's something for us to consider, and I want to reflect on that. And it's going to take me 3 sessions to do it. So I'm not going to finish it tonight. Because there's too much background material that needs to be introduced, I believe. And I trust the Lord will speak to your heart. It has to do with the kingdom. It has to do with ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming kingdom. And it also has to do with your personal walk with the Lord and the depth of your walk with the Lord. Because that's what communion is all about. Communion has to do with fellowship. Fellowship with each other and fellowship with the Lord. And it's hard to have fellowship with the Lord without having fellowship with his children, and particularly the brethren, those who are seeking to enter the kingdom. Brethren are those who are seeking to do the will of the Father, because they want to enter the kingdom, and to enter the kingdom means to rule and reign with Him. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 to introduce what Paul received from the Lord as far as breaking of bread is concerned. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as oft as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." And what's interesting here, of course, the King James doesn't show it, but there's a definite article "the" before this word "death." It's speaking about a particular death. Now, I want to emphasize the fact that what the apostles did in the early church. And I want to begin with Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Now, I have all my verses written down, so I'm going to wait for you to catch up with me. I spoke at Community Baptist this Sunday and had to learn to wait. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's what the Lord's been trying to get us to all do, is to wait on Him. And so, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and it says, "And they," this is talking about those that had responded to Peter's message. And by the way, Peter was preaching the mysteries of the kingdom, because his message concluded with baptism. Repent and be baptized, and that is a kingdom message. That's what John preached. That's what Jesus preached. That's what the apostles preached. So Peter's message was to the brethren, the nation of Israel, saved Jews, to help them to see they need to repent and do what John preached, so that they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the promise. Now, I'm adding to our thoughts a little bit here, not in my notes, but the promise has to do with ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom, because the word promise has the definite article "the" before it, and it's a specific promise, and it's the promise is age-lasting life, and you get that in 2 John chapter 2 and verse 25. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers." Now, I appreciate the fact that you can say that breaking of bread has to do with meals or sitting down with a meal, but I really do believe that this has to do with the table of remembrance that the Lord Jesus Christ gave His apostles in the upper room. Fellowship has the idea of sitting down and being together and even eating together as well. But the point here is the word "continued" is imperfect, and that means that they had been doing it in the past and they continue to do it in the present. And in other words, it was relentless in their steadfastness. And the word "steadfastness" is also a verb in the present tense, and it meant they were doing this all the time. And it's important for us to find out what we need to be doing all the time. And doctrine is first, fellowship is second, breaking of bread is third, and prayer is the last. You would think prayer would come a little closer to the front, but it doesn't seem to be that way. And so they continued breaking of bread. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And I associate fellowship as coming together for a purpose, not just simply a social event, but coming together, as said in Hebrews chapter 10, to provoke each other. Now, that doesn't mean rub each other the wrong way, but we are to provoke each other to what? Love and good works. That's what fellowship is all about. I'm here to provoke you to love one another. I'm here to provoke you to do honorable things that would bring honor and glory to the Lord. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, it seemed like that the first day of the week was the day when they broke bread, when they got together to break bread and to remember the Lord. Now, something happened interestingly in Luke chapter 24. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24 and in verse 30, beginning. Luke 24 and verse 30. Some things happened over the table. And I think that this is something that we need to appreciate, the fact that the breaking of bread adds some additional benefits in our spiritual walk with the Lord, particularly if we're interested in learning some things from the Lord. In Luke chapter 24, verse 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them," just like in the upper room. "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." I am persuaded that breaking of bread has to do with the blessing to us of having our eyes open to new truth. If we are not into fellowshipping with the Lord around his table, we hinder ourselves in the ability to grow in truth. And that's one of the benefits, I believe, of breaking of bread. God is able to open the Scriptures to us. In fact, Look down in verse 35 of Luke 24, and it says, "And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known unto them in breaking of bread." The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to us in that remembrance feast. Look down in verse 45. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Now, of course, this took place while he was serving broiled fish and honey. But the point I want you to get is that the Lord is interested in opening our understanding, that we might understand the Scriptures. And I do believe the breaking of bread is the catalyst, if you please, or the means for the Lord to do that. Because who are we focused on when we're breaking bread? We're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did and what He is doing today. Now, I want to dwell a little bit on the idea of understanding, opening their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. These two words are not the same Greek word. They're two different Greek words. One has to do with the ability to put things together. You know, until we learn how to put one passage of Scripture with another passage of Scripture, we are hindered in understanding the Lord, or understanding what He has to say. Just like what Brother Royce did tonight. We didn't just stay in Exodus chapter 3. Well, we went to Hebrews. We went to Acts. We went to Isaiah. We went to Luke. That's what you call putting things together, putting Scripture together. Now, we have to have a mind for the Scripture. So one of the words here, that He opened their understanding, that their minds, that they might put the Scriptures together. The second word has to do with putting the Scriptures together. In fact, it's the Hebrew word, or the Greek word, to send together. It's very difficult to send things from places that you haven't been. So it has to do with sending. You're over here, and your thoughts are sent to another passage of Scripture. Now, this has to do with having a deeper knowledge of His Word. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, I want you to turn with me to Colossians 1, verse 9. Paul was excited about hearing those that he is discipling, that they love one another, and that they're walking by faith. Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." This word knowledge is the Greek word that many of you already know, and that is epignosis. Epi means upon. Gnosis is knowledge. And it's knowledge upon knowledge. And I want you to associate that knowledge upon knowledge with butter. Okay? Just think of that. I want you to just put that on the shelf there a minute, because I want you to see how that relates to butter. Okay? And Paul says that I desire that ye might be filled with a deeper knowledge of His will. And the deeper knowledge of His will is for us to stand in His presence approved, and to rule and reign with Him, and to do the Father's will, and to have a worthy walk, to behave ourselves in our lifestyle, and to be pleasing unto Him, and be fruitful in every good work. In other words, we be in doing every good work. It doesn't mean that we're going to have a bumper crop every time, okay? Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And if you're a 30-crop producer, be satisfied. And that's what we need to do. We need to be satisfied with what the Lord has given us the capability of doing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, this passage of Scripture is offering to us two things that we need in our walk with the Lord. One of them is grace, and the other one is peace. I got some email from my sister today about activities in our government that did not give me peace. I'm not going to talk about it. In fact, some of the things that you read can make you right down angry. But you know what? This world's going to be burned up, and we're going to have a new world and a new heaven and a new earth. And the former things are going to be forgotten. And so I just let that go. Don't worry about it. Don't pass it on. You know how they want you to pass it on. I just don't pass it on. Anyway, 1 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do we get grace? And how do we get peace? It's through a deeper knowledge of our God and of our Lord. What do you expect from God? Do you expect instant prayer answers? Your expectations? You don't even know our God. Our God is a God who waits. And He waits some more. And when you think you have waited long enough, He is going to wait some more. Why? Because He wants to be glorified, He wants to be exalted, and He wants to bless us with maximum benefit. I tell you what, when you're waiting on the Lord and the prayer comes just in the proper time, He gets the maximum glory and we get the maximum benefit. And so we need grace, and I look at grace as the power of God. Paul says, or the Lord told Paul, that my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. And Paul says, I would gladly rejoice in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. So I look at grace as the power of Christ, the power of God. And we need strength, particularly when we're waiting upon the Lord. And we need peace. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't enjoy having a peaceful time and a peaceful life, particularly in the turmoil that we are experiencing in these days. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as the divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the epinosis of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What does deeper knowledge provide for us? It provides for us a godly life, and by knowing one who has called us unto glory and virtue. He has called us unto His kingdom. And it takes the deeper knowledge of the Word for us to enjoy the life that He has given us and to live a godly life in a world that is not godly. In fact, our world today is the haters of those that are good. They're ungodly. And another thing that we need to be warned about is this. In the last days, lawlessness will abound. And you know what that does? The lawlessness of the world can affect the child of God. The lawlessness of the world can cause your love to what? Grow cold. And when your love grows cold, kind of reminds me of one of the churches in the book of Revelation, but the point is this, if your love grows cold, the Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if lawlessness abounds, your love grows cold, your desire to to be more, to be obedient to the Lord goes downhill. And so therefore it's very necessary for us to be continuing in the epinosis, the line upon line knowledge of God. In Revelation chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Turn with me there, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, we are going to be getting into breaking of bread, okay? We're laying some foundation material here. In verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And what is Paul praying? He's praying that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. Then here again is the butter, the epinosis, the knowledge upon knowledge of Him. Why? Why does He want us to have this spirit of wisdom and revelation? That the eyes of our understanding might be, of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to share His inheritance with us. That's the inheritance that we're going to enjoy. And our eyes need to be enlightened, and it's through the butter, or the deeper knowledge, and we need to have a deeper knowledge of the hope of His calling. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we know that the hope of His calling is unto His kingdom and glory. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, I want to share with you a little bit what the butter is, what the knowledge upon knowledge is. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." When I see that strong food or strong meat belongs to those that are mature, that means that they have been living a while and that they are being exercised. They have been moving. They're not dormant, they're moving. And they're not running on a treadmill either. They are moving, they're having their senses exercised in the Scriptures. Because it is the Scriptures that help us to discern between good and evil. And after we have discerned what is good and what is evil, then it's up to us to either be obedient or being disobedient. We can know the difference between good and evil, and we can choose the good, which glorifies God, or we can choose the evil, which may benefit us for a while, just like Moses. He was in Egypt for a while, but he chose to be associated with the people of God, because he knew the blessings and the rewards would be greater with the Lord than with Moses. But now, it's something interesting in Isaiah chapter 7. I want you to turn to Isaiah 7, verse 15. It says here, "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." Now, who is the he in this verse? Amen. There's one fellow that knew the answer, because he was reading verse 14. Look in verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." It's Emmanuel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who ate butter and honey so that he could refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, this is symbolic language. I had thought about bringing stick of butter here and letting Rick pass out the honey. But this is symbolic language. Because butter and honey isn't going to help you just eating that for breakfast or for lunch. But how do you get butter? We might have some farmers in our midst. How many of you have ever churned milk to get butter? Let me see those hands. Well, I want to tell you something right now. You didn't churn milk to get butter. Did you know that? You churn cream to get butter. You don't churn milk. What happens when you churn? My grandmother let me run the churn when I was down on the farm, and we'd have butter in no time. It was cold. You know, the cream was cold, and you do that, and it wouldn't be long. We'd be back in the kitchen and pressing out those bricks of butter. She never churned milk. But in, I want you to look in Proverbs 30, verse 33. Proverbs 30, verse 33. It says, "Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter." Well, if my grandmother was churning milk, we might still be there today. But you know what? This is the milk of the Word. This is not the cream of the Word. This is the milk of the Word. This is milk. Do you know what's in this milk? Butter fat. And it takes a long time to get a pound of butter out of a gallon of milk. And you know what? It takes a long time of studying and fellowship with the Lord in this book to begin to put the butterfat together. It's not instant. I do appreciate the computer because it doesn't forget. And the closer you get to 80, the more you forget. And I've got a long way to go. Now, what is churning of milk all about? I want you to turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Some of you already have this down and remember this from times past, but some of you may have not have heard the thoughts that I'm sharing with you right now. But they're always precious to me because it keeps me faithful in the Scriptures. In Isaiah 28:9, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." That's what you call putting butterfat together. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. But you know what? You're not going to do that until you get tired of the milk. You're not going to do that until you get tired of just kind of reading through. You know, I'm going to read a, you know, I'm going to, and then you read a verse and then you go about your day. That's not churning the Word. You need to get to the place in your life where you're tired of milk. Not that we should ever get tired of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, but you know what? That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. I was with a men's group, and they were talking about having a victory in their life over sin. And they kept saying, "Go back to the cross, go back to the cross." I said, "Hey, that's the starting point. You should be a long way down the road by now. You should be in the Word. You should be saying, 'Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.'" They weren't talking about memorizing Scripture. That's one of the things that I did when I was in the Navy. I had a flight suit on, an air crewman, flew 10, 12 hour hops out over the ocean looking for submarines. I used to carry cigarettes in my shoulder or my arm pack, but the Lord gave me victory over those, and I put a navigator pack in there. And when I wasn't doing anything, I could work on my memory verses. And you know what? It changed my life. And it changed my teaching ability, too. When you have Scripture memorized and you stand up to share, the Lord doesn't, you've got something to say. And it was a lot of fun to teach, way back 40-some-odd years ago. But anyway, the churning. You got to get tired of the milk and have a desire to mature and to grow. And notice this. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy to take a baby away from the breast. It's got to be pulled away. There's got to be crying. There's got to be struggle. And that's okay for us to do that. The Lord knows that. He wrote this. And He knows our struggle. But the benefits are beyond our comprehension. Now, what about the honey? Where does the honey come from? Well, what does honey do for us? You've heard of honeydews, but this is not a honeydew. And look, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14. This has to do with Jonathan. He's been out defeating the Philistines, having a mighty victory. He wasn't with his father at the time that his father pronounced a curse upon the people of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "But Jonathan," and I'm going to skip down in the verse, "put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb, and he put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were" what? "Enlightened." Did you know that when we are eating butter and honey, it takes the honey to know how to handle the butter? Did you know that there are theologians today that have got pounds and pounds of butter, but they haven't got to the honey yet? They know a lot of doctrinal stuff in this book, and you could call that butter, but you know what? It takes honey. It takes an enlightened eye. We need eyes to see, and what? Ears to hear. And where does that come from? We can't lather up sight, and we cannot lather up ears to hear. It has to come from the Lord. It comes from Him. In Luke chapter 24, again, and I'm going to just read it to you because we've been there already, and it says, "It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them." And it says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him." I think that having fellowship with the Lord in his table of remembrance provides the honey that we need to have our eyes opened and enlightened to see things. I tell you, there's nothing like having fellowship with somebody and remembering the things that he has done for you to keep you to be faithful to him. Because we're being reminded of who he is in our fellowship with him and what he has done. And it helps us in our walk with him when he opens our eyes. And also in verse 35, it says that he was known of them in breaking of bread. And then in verse 45, in Luke chapter 24, it says that their understanding or their intellect or mind, he opened that they might understand the Scriptures. It's not something that comes with being intelligent or born with intelligence or high IQ. Now, in Acts chapter 16, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, there. Acts chapter 16. in verse 14. This shows you how the Lord is, how the Lord operates at times. Here's Lydia, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Who opened her heart? The Lord opened her heart. Just like the Lord opens our eyes. That she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. What a joy it is to see people who have a Bible and they attend to the things that are spoken by the Lord. I don't anything I say, you need to check me out. I'm still wearing shoes and pants, and I need to be checked out. I was going to open this evening with a thought that I remembered in the study of in reading the book of Acts, and it has to do with this thought here in with Lydia. Remember when Peter went to see Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? You can turn with me if you will there. Acts chapter 10. This is the attitude that we need when we come to a fellowship of doctrine or studying of the Scriptures. Cornelius told Peter, after the angel spoke to him and told him what to do, he says, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come." Isn't that interesting? You've done the right thing, Peter. He's instructed an apostle. You've done the right thing, Peter, by coming. Now here is the heart of Cornelius, and we all need that heart. Now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. I'm in verse 33. I will start over. Now therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God? When you come to hear a man of God, that's to be the attitude of your heart. We're here to what? To hear what God has given you. Because we know that God has given it to you for us, specifically. And what I have been studying for the past 50 years, I'm coming to deliver to you. And the reason why I say the past 50 years, my mother was an artist. And they were always asking her, "How long does it take you to paint that picture?" My mother always answered, he says, "It took me 40 years to paint that picture." You know what that means? Experience. And the same thing happens here. All the years that I have studied, I'm here to present and to share with you. Now, the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and she gave attendance to what Paul was speaking. She had the same attitude that Cornelius had. I want what you have. And she was there, and you know what? And she was baptized. She believed it. She believed it. Now Lydia was not saved here when she heard Paul. She was already worshiping God. She was already a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She just had not heard about what Jesus Christ was able to give her. And because when she was baptized, anytime you see that word, you need to associate it with the kingdom. Because Jesus Christ was baptized and he didn't get saved. And Jesus Christ preached, "Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So he was not preaching people how to be saved. He was preaching to people to teach them how to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, to show you that there are times when the Lord does hide things from us. In Luke chapter 18, verse 34, it says, "And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Jesus was talking about going to Jerusalem to be crucified, and God and the Lord kept them from knowing what was that was all about. So there are times when that happens. Now, the kingdom message has to be understood. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, and I'm just about done. I've only got one more page to go. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The word of the kingdom has to be understood. And you see that word understood there? That's the same word that we have already studied. It means to put things together. People who are not have not been creating butterfat in their life, putting things together in their study and their walk with the Lord. You know what? The devil can take away precious things from you. Did you know that? He did it here. These people, they heard the word of the king. And you know what? The word heareth is a present active verb. It's actually a participle. It's in the present tense. Let me give you a little clue on in the reading of your Bible. Anytime you see E-T-H on the end of a word, it means that you need to practice that. It's in the present tense. E-T-H means to do continually. And they heard the word of the kingdom, but they understood it not. And that is also in the present tense. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. They didn't know what he was talking about. And Satan, by the way, then cometh the wicked one. And you know what that word is? It's got an E-T-H on the end of it. You know what that means? The devil never quits. The devil never quits. He is always trying to confuse you. He's always trying to rob you of truth and of the scriptures. And even the word catcheth away is in the present tense. He is trying to rob you of what would be a blessing to you if you believed it. Now, what about those that understand? He that receiveth seed to the good ground is he that heareth, present active, the word, that is the word of the kingdom, and understandeth. Same word, present tense. Those who hear the word of the kingdom and are able to put it together, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be fruit bearers. They're going to be bearing fruit. And let me just say this. Let me just tell you this. The fruit of a Christian is not another Christian. Did you know that? The fruit of a Christian is not another Christian. We're branches, right? And we're in the vine. And if all we produce is branches, what would they do to the vine? They'd cut it down or put a new, you know, get them a new vine. The fruit of a Christian is the things that we do to bless other people. When I walk by an apple tree and I pull an apple off that tree, I'm not thinking about the tree. I'm thinking about the fruit that that tree produced that's going to help me to be stronger, refreshed. It's got sugar in it. My eyes will be brightened up. I'll feel better. And that's what we all need to be doing for each other. We need to be bearing fruit to help and encourage each other. And so if we know the word of the kingdom, we're going to be interested in helping other people. And we're going to be bearing fruit, present tense, and we're going to be bringing forth, present tense, some 100, some 60, some 30. Now, along with the deeper knowledge, or along with the butter, is some things that we need to keep in mind. There's responsibility that comes with the knowledge of the Scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and our and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this word knowledge is epinosis. It's butterfat. Did you know you can escape the pollutions of this world? Because butterfat teaches you to refuse the evil and choose the good. And so for you can be doing that for a while and quit. Did you know that? Just because you're saved does not mean you're going to act the perfect way. Salvation is just the beginning, and then you have to choose the good and refuse the evil. Do you know someone like that in the Bible? Job. Job was one who eschewed evil, chose the good. And it cost him. And it will cost you. But anyway, what happens to those who turn away from that? They are entangled again in the pollution of the world. They are overcome by the pollution of the world. And it says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. In fact, all the butterfat that they learned will melt away. The things that they have received will be taken away from them, and we just need to appreciate it. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Did you know that the butterfat teaches us the way of righteousness? It teaches us to enter into the narrow gate, because broad is the way that leadeth to perishing, or the loss of life in the coming kingdom. Be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Hebrews chapter 6, or 10, verse 26 shows us that we need to be warned of the willful sin. For if we willfully sin after we have received the butter, that's epinosis. After we have received the butter, you sin willfully after you receive the butter of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, let me just tell you what I consider the willful sin. You know what the willful sin is? It's any sin in your life that you will not confess. That's the willful sin. The man picking up sticks on the Sabbath believed in his heart that he had a right to pick up the sticks on the Sabbath. And he got stoned for it. And it wasn't from a pint. It cost him his life. And the same thing can happen to us. If we sin willfully after we receive the deeper truths, there's not a sacrifice that will take care of a sin that you won't confess. You'll have to deal with that at the judgment seat of Christ. You will confess it then. You will be forced to confess it then. Now, Luke 12, and with this I'll close. Luke 12, 47 and 48. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. I was teaching in a local Baptist church here in the cities, in fact in Hickson. And I read that verse of scripture, and this fellow had been in my training union class. And he says, "You mean to tell me that I'm going to be held accountable and responsible for the things that I've heard you teach tonight?" I said, "You sure are." You know what he told me? He says, "Don't say another word." And he got up and walked out. Now, there's a man of wisdom. He may have been a little dumb, but he had wisdom. He didn't want to hear anything else that he would be accountable for, because he just wanted a few stripes and not many. How many in here wanted just a few stripes? I don't see a hand anywhere. I don't either. I want to do what the Lord would have me to do. I want to know what He wants me to do, and it takes the butterfat to do it. Now, I'm focusing on the communion, the fellowship around the table, and this right here will give us some background material to help us to appreciate some things that we're going to be talking about tomorrow night. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the thoughts that were given tonight. We just pray, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts, that You would help us to be the kind of servants that would desire to do your will, to bear fruit, and to be found faithful in your sight, and to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and to enter into the joy of the Lord. We just pray that you'd help us to get tired of the milk and start feeding on the solid food, so we can discern between good and evil, and then give us the strength that we need through that deeper knowledge to choose the good and eschew the evil. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.